We're live on Jaguars.com. This is the 2014 Draft Central Recap. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. And, of course, going into this draft, John, a very important draft. Second draft for general manager Dave Caldwell and head coach Gus Bradley. They addressed a lot of needs in this draft.
And maybe it was having 11 picks to start and getting down to 8 and all the trades, but it just felt like more was going on this weekend. At the same time, when you listened to Gus and Dave a few minutes ago or about an hour ago now, there was a genuine happiness with what happened. I get that you always hear that after the draft, but I think they had a better feel this year for exactly what they wanted, what they needed, how to fill roles, exactly what they were looking for in schemes. That's supposed to be the case in year two. That was their plan, remember, to kind of get a feel for this roster and really start moving forward this offseason. You got the feeling listening to them like they felt like they got that done.
You ready to go pick by pick here?
Oh, I am ready.
It started Thursday night as the Jaguars really surprised a lot of folks. It was a pick that they kept quiet. Dave Caldwell was really the only one that knew for a long time. He told Gus Bradley at some point. They let owner Shad Khan know, apparently the night before, that they were going quarterback. Out of Central Florida, Blake Bortles, the number 3 overall pick. He arrived in Jacksonville Friday morning. But it is a huge pick. It's the highest drafted quarterback in Jaguars history.
And I didn't tell us, which still has to be addressed, but I mean, we can get to that. You know, and it's funny with that pick. I think when it first happened, a lot of fans were shocked by it because they hadn't talked about him a whole lot. And when you draft, fans watch so many mock drafts and so many draft boards that they assume they know what's going on. And I've gotten a feeling later on that fans are getting their minds around this pick. This is the guy they wanted. This is the guy they feel like they can move forward with this franchise at the quarterback position. And there's been a lot of talk, should they have traded back? Should they have done this? At some point when you're taking a quarterback, you get your guide and you go. You've talked to people this weekend, JP, Jed Fish, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley. I don't get any sort of a feeling that anybody's not on board and ready to roll with this guy.
Seemed unanimous. And the way Dave Caldwell did it, he said he pulled people around the organization without them knowing what his thoughts were. He thought about this last October, apparently, and it was all pretty much unanimous.
And probably harder to do that than maybe it sounds when you just talk
about it
a little bit. And I talked to Dave about that on Friday, and he said that's a key part of sort of what he does in the draft. And to talk to him, he's got a pretty good poker face. That's important because he's trying to get people's real opinion. And certainly on Blake, to listen to everybody around this building, what he got was that everybody liked this guy and everybody thought this guy was not just the best quarterback in the draft, but clearly the best quarterback in the draft.
And the Jaguars will not put any pressure on him. Chad Henne is really the starter going into camp, what it seems. Blake Bortles will have some time to work on things, and he'll be here this week for rookie camp. Now, day two had an offensive theme again. Wide receivers were the key early. Marquise Lee out of Southern Cal, the 2012 Biletnikoff Award winner. And then the Jags traded up to get another wide receiver. Allen Robinson, a Biletnikoff semifinalist last year out of Penn State. They liked both of these guys equally almost, John. They ended up getting both of them.
And it's neat to be around here during the draft because you get to listen to guys right as they come out of the war room, right when you hear situations live. And Jerry Sullivan, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley all said the same thing, was that they were trying to figure out, I guess they had about 6 receivers they liked that they thought would be around in that second and third round area. They thought maybe they would take 2 back-to-back, weren't sure. Maybe offensive linemen might have worked their way into that. But they really were trying to sort of split hairs between Lee and Robinson, never dreaming that they could get both. And Gus Bradley even went back to that a little bit today and talked about, you know, just how much they like Robinson, just how close they think they are. And they really think that both of these guys, it sounds like they think both these guys can be big-time frontline type receivers.
And with a question mark surrounding Justin Blackmon's future here, they had to shore up that position. The offensive theme continued later in day two when the Jaguars traded up again, traded 2 picks to New England to get back in the third round and addressed the offensive line with a guard. Brandon Linder out of Miami. Jed Fish knows him well. He played for the North team, the other side, in the Senior Bowl in Mobile. But, hey, you know, at some point they were going to address this interior part of the offensive line. They did that with Linder.
Well, and if there was anything going into last night that you thought maybe had been left unaddressed, it was that position. And right guard, not the most high-profile spot on the roster, but they had addressed receiver, and they had talked about center a whole lot all through the offseason, but the right guard position was still kind of over there. You had Will Rackley, you had some other guys who played there. Brewster played there some last year. They used a fourth pick and a sixth pick to go get up and get this guy. It would be surprising if Jonathan Linder is not starting very, very soon. When you go up and get a guard in the third round and trade up to get him, you're going up to get a guy who's going to be on the field.
So the Jaguars now move into Saturday with only five picks remaining after the two trades on the previous day. Well, it was a Senior Bowl type of feel and a defensive feel to start the day today. Fourth round pick, cornerback Aaron Colvin out of Oklahoma, banged up his knee at the Senior Bowl. And that'll be a storyline moving forward through the offseason here. Two fifth-round picks, linebacker Telvin Smith out of Florida State and defensive end Chris Smith out of Arkansas. Three defensive names, all played for Gus Bradley and the coaching staff in Mobile in the Senior Bowl. And that's a key part of these picks.
Well, it is, and what a neat story. It's not really neat for Colvin because he tore up his knee at the Senior Bowl. But what a neat story. Gus Bradley liked him enough, and to hear Dave and Andy Dangler, who came in and talked to us for a little while, they really liked Colvin at the Senior Bowl and thought he was a good fit. Gus Bradley talked about his arms are maybe a little shorter than the ideal Jaguars corner, but not enough to make it a bad thing. And then he really just plays with a lot of traits the Jaguars like. They liked how he was competing at the Senior Bowl. All of a sudden, he's gone after day two. Gus pulls him aside at the combine and says, hey, we're still going to get you. And so many times that doesn't happen. And it was – who knows if they really planned that, if it was absolutely – but it worked out that they took him. And now he's back. And from everything you hear, from everything that Dave Caldwell said in there and the Gus Bradley saying, they really think this guy has a chance to contribute later on this year, and it sounds like he's a guy that they think can be a starter and a guy long-term at the position. They wanted four or five starters coming into this draft. They think he's going to be one of them long-term.
For Telvin Smith, a guy who can fly all over the field from Florida State, Chris Smith, a very well-respected pass rusher out of the SEC. Now back to the interior part of the offensive line in the sixth round. The center comes out from Virginia, and Luke Bowanko, the sixth-round pick out of Virginia, he's selected. There's quite a competition there brewing. Mm-hmm. They've said they've liked Brewster the whole time at center to replace the retired Brad Meester. But will there be some competition there now?
Better than I would have done on Bowanko, by the way, on that last one. So congratulations
thanks,
on that.
John.
But in sixth-round center, you would not expect him to be coming in as a starter, maybe the way that Linder is in the third round where you expect him to be on the field. It was interesting all weekend, as it has been all off season, to sort of see what they think about Mike Brewster. Yep. And it seems like it's going to be tough for somebody to bump him out of the starting lineup. They like his approach. They like the way he's come back. And as Gus has said all weekend, he's got to go put the pads on. But they like everything about his approach. He's really taken the approach since Brad Meester has left that he's going to try to win that starting center position. If that happens, then, boy, they might be deep on the offensive line in spots, something they haven't been in a long time.
And then finally the Jaguars finish out the draft in the seventh round. They kind of bookend the draft with another teammate of Blake Bortles. Running back Storm Johnson is a Jaguar from UCF, third overall, to 222nd overall. They're Knights.
And so we come full circle.
That's true. Former college teammates are back together again in Jacksonville. So, of course, we mentioned at the start, big draft for Dave Caldwell mm-hmm. and this organization. Second time in. They filled some needs and, most importantly, got a little depth moving mm-hmm. forward, too.
Well, and I think, as we said at the top, it seemed logical that you would see a group that was operating with more, I would say confidence, because they were confident last year, but just having known what they needed, what they wanted. They spent all this year really living the roster, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Last year they had looked at it. They had a few months to prepare, but it's nothing like being around a team the whole year. They expected to be more prepared for this draft. They expected to be, you know, to just know exactly what they needed. That was the whole thing they talked about all last offseason. We want to compete. We want to be ready this offseason to know exactly what we need, exactly how we want to go forward. You got the feeling from Gus and Dave. You were around here last year during the draft. Again, it wasn't like they weren't confident last year.
That's right.
But it was clear, I thought, this weekend that these guys were very sure in their steps and very sure the direction they wanted to go, starting with Blake Bortles. As you said, if Dave wasn't confident on that pick, I don't know what confidence was, because he didn't say a word to anybody about it. He was going to make that pick. And when he came out, it was clear that he had the guy he wanted. So the tone was really set that night.
Let's move forward now. The rookies all will come in Sunday, tomorrow, of course, and they'll be in the building on Monday. They'll be here all week, a rookie camp Friday and Saturday. We'll have a rookie premiere show at some point this week. Stay tuned to Twitter, at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. We'll give you the latest time for that. Also this week, Tuesday, State of the Franchise from here at Everbank Field, Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, they'll all be involved. It's 1 o'clock Tuesday. We'll have it live right here on Jaguars.com. Two big events this week.
And getting back to the draft for a minute, it's hard to imagine them sort of attacking this with a better balance. And what I mean by that is they got some immediate needs filled and look to the future. A guy like Colvin was sort of the perfect example of that, where it's going to fill a need, but you got to wait for him a little bit. The receivers probably fill an immediate need. Blake Bortles, you're waiting on. So, yes, you're looking for the long haul, but they also look like they got some things that could make them better next year. So, with 8 picks, they knew they'd have flexibility with 11 coming in. It looks like they got that done.
Well done, John, all week long. I know you've been busting your tail for a lot of stories this week and content here on Jaguars.com.
For once. I rarely do that, but yes.
John Osier, great job.
JP, you too, bud.
That'll do it for our coverage of the 2014 NFL Draft. This is the 2014 Draft Central Recap Show. It started on Thursday with the 3rd overall pick, Blake Bortles. It ended tonight with pick number 222, the running back, Storm Johnson. The Jaguars brass back in the war room signing undrafted free agents as we speak. And the 2014 NFL Draft is complete.